1651551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, or Ray at RTE.ie. We were talking about lying at the beginning of the show a couple of weeks ago. You might remember I informed you that you're lied to between 10 and 200 times a day. Strangers lie 3 times within the first 10 minutes of meeting each other. Extroverts lie more than introverts. Men lie 8 times more than about themselves, whereas women tend to lie to protect other people. And there's loads and loads of facts and scientific research about lying. In a book called Lie Spotting, which is a good bit, it's 10 years old, but still it's held up as one of the publications on lying. And its author, Pamela Meyer, is on the line from New York. Pamela is CEO of Washington-based Calibrate. Good afternoon, good morning, Pamela.
Hello, how are you? Great to talk to you.
Yeah, you're a liar, I'm a liar. We're all liars.
We're all liars, every one of us. We all do it.
But even saying that, I felt uncomfortable saying I'm a liar because it's frowned upon.
Yeah, the word is really a trigger word in our culture. But in fact, it's a word that describes how we navigate complexity often. Not all lies are bad, really.
Right. So why do we lie, Pamela?
Well, you know, we all do lie, and we lie for very, very different reasons. And when I think about lying, I like to think about, like, the offensive lies and the defensive lies. So sometimes we lie just to obtain a reward that we couldn't get or to gain an advantage over somebody or to create a positive impression or win admiration. Other times we lie to really control information. But many times what we do is we're really lying to protect privacy or to get out of an awkward situation, or to protect somebody else from being punished, or to avoid embarrassment. So there are lots of parts of conversation and sort of who we are as humans that involve deception in some way, and it really is part of human nature.
And what's the evolutionary value of lying? Why has it survived?
Well, cavemen, you know, they had to lie to get what they needed, right? And so it starts very, very early. We know that even primates lie to some extent, you know. Coco the gorilla, the very, very famous gorilla that knew sign language, Coco once lied, you know, claiming that, you know, her pet kitten had ripped a sink out of the wall. I mean, they all lie. She used sign language doing it, but we know that it's just part of the human condition.
Right. I suppose your expertise is spotting lying. And you've been doing this for years and years and years. And does that make you a better liar?
Oh, yeah, I'm really good now. You got to be careful. But I'm not a good liar. I'm not a good liar in the presence of a good lie spotter, because what we do in my business and what I do with people as well is we train them not just to spot the lies, but how to get the truth. Because when you think about it, it's not that meaningful knowing that somebody lied unless you actually know what the truth is behind that lie. So there's a real science that's evolved over the last number of years in terms of what we call information elicitation that really helps you get to the truth and not just look at those particular indicators saying that someone's lying.
Okay, so you get the truth without using any sort of torture or anything like that. It's sort of just ways of talking and questions that you ask, etc.
Yeah, I mean, it depends if you're my husband or not.
Do you call out lies? That's something I've watched your TED talk and I've read loads of interviews with you, and something you don't cover is calling out lies.
That's such an important question. I really don't recommend it. You know, it's not, most people when confronted with a lie, they'll just pull back. They're going to get really defensive and it doesn't do you any good. You know, it's better to just get as much information as you can, to sit on it for a while and then think about a way to talk about it that involves giving someone a few off-ramps so they can really communicate to you about why they lied and what the external information may be around that. So, you know, you may say to somebody, look, it's not that big a deal, but I really need to get a better understanding of, like, what happened Friday night. I know you were late. I'm not accusing you of anything, but it would be helpful to understand. You know, and when you talk about it that way with somebody, they're going to be a lot more likely to tell you what was going on than, like, Where were you? Yes. I know you were at the office with that colleague. It just doesn't work.
Right. Okay. Now, you use this in your TED Talk, and I hope you don't mind if we use this again, because it's classic lying, and it's the sort of the verbals around lying. So I'm going to play this clip of Bill Clinton when he was president of the United States of America at a press conference after the whole Monica Lewinsky controversy. So here we go.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Some people were convinced by what he said. Now, we all know now that what he said was a lie, but you would have been able to spot then that what he was saying was a lie.
Well, yeah, I mean, Bill Clinton is what we call a conditioned witness. He's ready. He's at the ready, and he's probably practiced very carefully. But still, you know, there are a bunch of indicators there. You know, when the cognitive load is high and you're trying to think what to say, act composed, appear spontaneous, you leak these verbal cues and nonverbal cues. And the verbal ones on this one, you know, he said, I did not have sexual relations. Well, we know that we call that a non-contracted denial. Did not versus didn't, could not versus couldn't. Uh-huh. Liars will unconsciously formalize their language. And, you know, this data point goes around the world. We see this in every language.
I was just playing it again for them there.
Yeah, play it again.
I did not.
Ah, yes, instead of I didn't.
Right,
I
exactly.
Did not.
Ah, yeah, very good. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I mean, he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Right? I mean, he's distancing himself unconsciously with his language. And liars often do this. They unconsciously distance themselves with the language that they use. They'll use the third person. They'll say that woman. And the other thing that he does, he said Monica Lewinsky. Then he narrowed it. And the thing that we know is that when you're in a denial of having done something and you're lying, oftentimes you narrow the field of your denial. Like Bill Clinton, right? He couldn't say, hey, I never had sex outside my marriage in my life. We know he couldn't say that,
yes.
That categorical denial.
I see, yes.
So
yes.
That people want to appear truthful, so they narrow it so they can actually feel very truthful in what they're saying.
And what about, you know, the detail around a lie? Do people tend to give more detail when they're lying or not?
Well, so oftentimes, I mean, have you ever had teenagers around you? You probably know this, or anybody that's listening does. People will overstate the detail. We call this a lie sandwich. You know, they'll kind of give you too much authentic detail around the lie so they feel like they're being authentic, when in fact what they're doing is that they're providing with an inappropriate amount of statement information, as we say.
Okay.
So oftentimes the detail's way too much.
Right. Now,
because they're trying to seem honest.
The first thing that I studied when I was at college was nonverbal communications. Body language. And I would have thought, and I'd say most of our listeners think, that if somebody's fidgeting, if somebody is looking at the floor as opposed to making eye contact, they're probably lying. But that's wrong.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, first of all, what you need to know about even spotting lies any of the time is that the science is soft. This is like the weather, right? I mean, so you're making a soup and you're doing your research and you're confirming facts and you're observing behavior and you're going to put it all together and intuit what you think is the truth. So there's no fail-proof way of doing it. But the most important thing you can do, and this is what FBI interrogators do all the time, is they baseline someone at first. They come in and they're like, how are you? How was your weekend? Did you go shopping? And what they're doing is they're trying to get a sense of your norm so that they can have a reliable reference point later. So if someone's tapping their foot, it doesn't mean anything if they're a foot tapper.
Yes.
If you say, how was your weekend? And they're tapping their foot and they're nervous. It doesn't mean anything when you ask them the next question that's really important for what you want to know.
Yeah.
So you really have to get a baseline down. People who don't know what they're doing oftentimes just look at stress, or they look at hand wringing, or they look at someone's posture and they see a shift. It doesn't mean anything unless there's a whole set of clusters and unless it really changes from someone's baseline.
And that makes sense, because even like what my knowledge is from movies, etc., but when somebody's taking a lie detector, they ask them some sort of inane questions at the start to establish the baseline.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
That's right. Exactly right. They're baselining them.
Okay. Fake news, right? Why do people buy into the lies, do you think?
So, you know, we are so easily conned. You know, we live in our little bubbles. We have what's called confirmation bias. People say things we want to hear. And this is the same thing with fake news. Oftentimes, something will be promised that either confirms a bias that we have or is just something we really wish could be true. And so, you know, for example, people who are fearful of vaccines may really believe all the fake news about vaccines. Well, there's been some new news today about vaccines,
yes,
so I have to
Johnson
be careful about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so we want to be careful with that. But when the vaccines first came out, everyone thought the vaccines could kill you, and there was a lot of, you know, nobody should take them, and because there's a whole history, particularly in America, of bad medical experimentation, and there's a lot of confirmation bias in that. And so people believe the news that they want to believe because either they're fearful or something is promised to them that they really want. And we can all be easily, easily conned by fake news, every one of us.
There's obviously more lying out there because there's more people talking on social media. You know, there would have been conversations in pubs and in sitting rooms and kitchen tables, etc. But they evaporated. Now, you know, they're on Twitter, they're on Instagram, they're on da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So there are lies everywhere. Forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because while the volume of information and the volume of lies has certainly increased, and I think our moral bar is a little bit lower than it has been at different times in history, at the same time, we're better at pointing them out. There are more mechanisms for transparency as well.
But if somebody lies, they don't have those triggers that they don't have those indicators that we talked about. They don't have, you know, well, maybe the verbal thing, but they definitely don't have the non-verbal communication, the body language, because if it's in 160 characters on Twitter or wherever. So are you studying, you know, the written word and lying through Twitter or wherever?
Yeah, I mean, we are looking at all forms of lying that's out there because there really is a deception epidemic that we're in the midst of.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we have found is that the volume is much higher. Trust is at an all-time low. You know, our trust in institutions has never been lower. That's a huge problem. At the same time, it is possible to train people to figure out what a real source is, ask the hard questions, check with somebody they trust. There's a lot of training that can go into that, and especially with people who are younger and in high school, middle school now, where you can start to get people a little bit more critical in terms of how they take in that information.
But is it fair to say then that that takes effort and that the lazy thing to do is just accept what people tell you?
That's right. You got to keep your antenna up.
Yeah.
It should be a second, you know, like a sixth sense for us. We should, after a while, become better and better at observing the truth, asking the hard questions.
Back to where we started there and the stats that I gave out. So men are 8 times more likely to lie about themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, oh, you know, my high school girlfriend was much better than that, or, you know, oh, she wasn't the best they ever had, or, oh, there's other fish in the sea, it doesn't matter, or I was the VP when, in fact, they were the director. Oftentimes, they'll lie because they were hurt by somebody, or they'll lie because they're increasing their sense of position. We see a lot of lying on dating services, particularly around that. Managed 5,000 people when, in fact, it was maybe 50.
Yes.
So, you know, we are all hardwired to stay ahead of the pack, and men as well do that. You know, I mean, if the caveman told the other caveman where his cave was, he would have lost his woman and the food, right?
Yeah, but then women, by contrast, women are more compassionate in how they lie because they'll go, yeah, that dinner was lovely when they, you know, they didn't like it at all, but they're doing it to protect the other person's feelings.
Yeah, I mean, we find the volume of lies is pretty much equal, but the motivation is
different.
Somewhat different. I wouldn't say women are better. I wouldn't say women are more moral or more ethical at all. I just think we lie for different reasons. We all manipulate, but for different motivations.
Okay. And that thing, when you meet a stranger, they're likely to lie to you 10 times in the first 3 minutes. Is that the statistic? Did I read that right?
Yeah, I mean, we there are a lot of studies out there, and we've seen the number of from 3 to 200 in a day. But you have to keep that, you know, you have to really think about it, because like a lot of those lies are what we call low-stakes lies. As opposed to, I mean, I'm very concerned much more with high-stakes lies, who to vote for, what house to buy, who to marry, who to hire.
Yeah.
You know, we're more concerned about
Okay, well, let's just, lies. We'll finish up on that then, the high-stake lies. And, like, we're sort of surrendering a lot of the stuff to, you know, artificial intelligence and algorithms. Can algorithms spot lies?
Yes, there's a lot of, I mean, we're really hitting a new era where AI is hitting a huge evolution in technology. I sit on the advisory board of a company that's using just eye, you know, pupillometry and eye movements. It's called Converis to tell whether or not people are lying. We've had just a complete renaissance in the technology. It's changing really dramatically. It's also quite dangerous because we have facial recognition and invasions of privacy going on all over the world and really the rise of kind of surveillance states. And so we're in this middle moment right now where it's certainly not just a human combat, human behavior that we're looking at. We're also looking at automated machine-generated data. But it could be used for very complex reasons. And so it's a very, very interesting time for lie detection, but also very complex.
Do you think, final question for you, do you need us as humans, do you think we need to be kept on the straight and narrow? Or is this just part of being human?
I think it's part of being human, but I think every one of us has the ability to just raise the moral bar a little bit and signal to everyone around them that they're honest, because it really does keep the people around them honest.
Yeah, you say in your TED talk, we'll finish with that one, that they're truth seeking and trust building. We need to do that as well as liar spotting. There you go.
Yeah.
Pamela Meyer, that was fascinating. And I mean that, that's truthful. I'm not just saying that as a white liar. I really mean that.
I believe you.
And thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today.
Okay.
Thanks,
that
Pamela. Bye now.
Take care.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.